chapter number 40. And I got a message for you that you're all going to hate me for when we're done. How's that? This is the message you don't want to hear, all right? I'm not titling it that, but I am telling you right now, this is the message none of you want to hear. It doesn't matter what your age is, the message that we're going to preach is going to bother everybody. Because I've figured out so far in my life, I can't speak for some of you in your 50s and 60s, but I'm in my mid-40s, and so far in my life, this is a message I still need. I still have problems with the subject we're going to be looking at. Psalm chapter 40, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Brother Jesse, would you pray and ask God to bless the preaching, please? Amen. I want to preach to you from this chapter, from the entire chapter, Psalm chapter 40, on the benefits of patience. I told you you're going to hate me. The benefits of patience. What you and I need is we need some patience in our life. Notice, interestingly enough, that it's the 40th Psalm, and 40 in your Bible, that number is a number of probation. It's a number for trial, for testing, for like a probationary period. He says in verse number 1, if you'll look at it with me, I waited patiently for the Lord. Right there, before we even take it any farther, the first word that I noticed was I waited how? Patiently. I don't know about you, but I've waited on God a time or two, right? Have you ever been in line and had to wait? Did you wait? Most of the time when you're in line and you have to wait, you go ahead and you do what? You wait. But you don't always wait patiently, do you? I have a real problem with that, to be honest with you. I had a particular run-in with that this week. I realized how wretched that I am. I was feeling guilty in the moment, but it didn't really matter that I felt guilty in the moment, if you understand what I'm saying. I was in a public place, and there was an older man in front of me, and the older man thought the world was all about him. He literally thought it was his world. And I hadn't eaten in quite a while, and I wanted to get to the supper table. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. And that old man that was really a kind of a cranky and self-centered person was in front of me. So I'm spiritually looking at this cranky, self-centered individual, and I'm thinking, does he not realize there's more people here than just himself? And you know what happened right at that moment? At that moment, somebody just over to my left had a child. And that child was particularly noisy, shall we say. And the child's particular noisiness, somebody searching, okay, I thought it was like, oh, I shouldn't use that word. This is the Lord telling me to stop. The child's particular, by the way, I don't get mad when that happens. Have you ever noticed that doesn't bother me? You know why? I've told you the story before. I'm going to tell you again in the moment just for the sake of it. I saw a preacher one time get on the church because somebody's phone went off as though they, you know, violated his holiness. And then his phone in the pulpit started ringing. Yeah, man. So I'm like, oh, we're good. It's, you know, no problem. So the child to my left decided that it was time to just start screaming like a fool and not stop screaming. My belly button's hitting my backbone. I'm starving. You understand? I've been waiting for a long time to eat. I was purposely not snacking in between meals. It had been almost 6 whole hours since I had any food at all. I was dying, you understand? I noticed I was particularly edgy. And the old man in front of me was particularly aggravating. And it was like, I'm waiting. But he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I am 100% sure that my eyes, when I looked at him, spoke a lot, because he was kind of like... And the Lord said, Mike, you're a pastor. You're 44 years old. You're really this mad about this old man in front of you? You understand what I'm saying? What was happening is I was waiting, but nothing in me was patient at all. What we need to learn to do is we need to learn patience. Because there's a tremendous amount of benefits to patience. David says in verse number 1, I waited. So the word wait, what does that mean? It means to stay, to not depart, to attend in service, right? The example that I use that I think is the best example of scriptural waiting is like a waiter at a restaurant. I waited upon the Lord. Well, what does a waiter at a restaurant do? They don't just like sit down while you're at your dinner table and just like, you know, talk to their friends and just hang out and just like, what are you doing? I'm waiting. Right? No, you're not waiting. And you ain't getting a tip either. You understand what I'm saying? A waiter at a restaurant is not an inactive individual. They're not sitting there completely in their own world and doing their own thing on the couch with their feet up, watching TV and what? While I'm waiting on God. Not at all. Somebody who waits on God is somebody who's attending to His needs, attending to His desire. What they're doing is they're saying, listen, I'm here right now, and my job at this moment is to be all eyes on You and to understand where You're at in Your experience. I need to know if You haven't ordered yet. And I need to pay close enough attention to know that when I come up to the table, you guys have been talking the whole time and haven't even looked at the menu. Right? So then I say, hey, what would you like to drink? Because right now what you want is something to drink. And I get your drink orders and I bring it back and I say, are you ready? And you say, oh, I'm sorry, we've been talking because we're just taking up your table for hours on end and we're not even going to tip you that good, but we're here in our own little world. But you know what? I'm the waiter. It doesn't matter. There's nothing I can do about it. You're laughing. There's nothing I can do about it. I just go back and I wait and I come back. I'm waiting. I'm keeping my eye out to see where they're at in the process and to be there when they want me there to get them what they need, right? I don't overdo it. I don't push myself on the table. Well, hurry up. Well, you should be ordering this. And this is what I want you to have because it's easier for me to keep up with this dish. I just get their order and I bring it to them. I'm waiting on them, right? So David's waiting on God. And he said in the text, I waited patiently. Now, the word patience is completely different than waiting. Although it's very easy in our mind to naturally associate the two are not necessarily associated exactly. Patience has to do with, think about this, it's kind of interesting. When I looked up the definition, I wondered if there would be a connection, and guess what, I was right. What are you when you're in the hospital? You're a patient. Yeah, you're waiting, all right. But you know why the word patience? Because patience has in the definition, it's connected to how you handle trouble, how you handle trial. Patience is connected with pain. It's the suffering of pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil. Follow that. The suffering of pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Now you know why I was using the illustration I was using about my lack of patience this week. Because although I was waiting, and people could look at me from the outside and say, he's being so patient, there was no patience at all within me, but I was waiting. It's suffering those things with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. So you're dealing with something you don't want to be dealing with. It is a horrible situation. It is an uncomfortable situation. Something about it just rubs you the wrong way, but you're enduring it without being all stirred up, without being all upset. You're enduring it without a temper issue. You're enduring it without murmuring under it and fretting about it. You're not complaining about it. You're not upset about it. You're not saying, God, why'd you put me here? And why is it going this way? And what have you done to me? And I can't believe it. Haven't I suffered enough? And that's not patience. So right now, I can already tell you, most of us in our trials get nothing from it. You understand what I'm saying? You get nothing, you get no benefit from your troubles because you don't suffer them patiently. The benefits of patience. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Flip back with me quickly to Psalm chapter 37 and verse 7. Last thing I want you to see in the introduction, and I'll give you my points and we'll go. Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 7. He says, rest in the Lord. You see that, right? Man, if we could learn how to do that. I wonder if we even understand what that means. To rest in the Lord. And wait, how? For Him. Now watch it. Remember how I just gave you the definition of patience, right? Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Isn't it amazing how the Bible defines itself? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So he's using that word patience again. It's connected again to wait. And here he says rest and don't fret. That's patience. Back in Psalm chapter 40, let's look at some benefits we can get from learning to be patient with God. David learned how to wait patiently. And notice, first of all, it brings blessedness on your life. Look at verse number 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. That word blessed means happy. You know what I want to be? I want to be happy. Have you ever noticed how often you're miserable? Have you ever noticed how many people seem to want to be miserable? What is it about that? Honestly, I don't get it. And when they want to be miserable, they want to make sure you're miserable too. I mean, like, that's not okay. If you want to be miserable, you go be miserable in your room, but you're not here to wreck the whole mood of the entire house. Everybody doesn't have to be miserable because you're miserable. If that's how you want to live, go. But I don't want to live that way. And honestly, nobody down deep inside really wants to, hey, I just want to live a miserable life. He said, blessed is the man. I want that joy. I want that happiness. I want to enjoy my Christian life. I want to enjoy my practical life. I want some thankfulness and some hope in the Lord. I want to live each day just as happy as I can be. And if I'm not a patient man, I will not ever be happy. You'll never be blessed. Doesn't matter what you get. The illustration that keeps coming into my mind all day long, and I've struggled about whether or not I should use it, because I don't like to, I don't know, I don't want to make it, you know, seem like I'm making it about me, but just, I think it's a good illustration. You look at, you know, pastor, okay? Man, God's been blessing our church, ain't he? It's amazing to see. I mean, there's probably close to 90 people here tonight. I never thought I'd see the day that there's 90 people, 80-something people, 90 people on a Wednesday night in this church. I never thought I'd see the day. Sunday morning, we were just jam-packed, right? Overflow chairs, praise the Lord for all that. You know what's crazy? In spite of how much God has blessed, there's always something else nagging at you all the time. How many years has it been we've been wanting to do this addition? How much time have we put in, money that we have spent, efforts that we've made to constantly keep getting stopped every time we go that direction? You know what I have to do? This is what I'm trying to say. I have to learn to wait patiently. Not all stirred up in my spirit. Not all jacked up in my spirit. Not all angry. Not all frustrated. And to you, it's like, I know to all of us it would mean something. It's going to be a great blessing if God ever lets us do that. I'm sure it's going to excite us all. We've all worked together. We've all prayed for this thing. But I don't know that to anybody it feels the same as it might feel to me. Right? It's different. It's my life. I don't do anything else with my life. This is my life. You all go to work tomorrow morning, but This is my work. You know what the Lord showed me a couple of years ago when I was trying to push it, and we weren't ready? He said, you better be patient, boy. Because when you're all frustrated and angry and trying to make it happen, you're not just going to get yourself, but you're going to get that entire church into a mess. Are you going to sit there and be frustrated and angry every time you don't get what you want? Or are you going to learn to be patient? You're going to be happy if it takes me 10 more years to get it done. Patience. So I say that because it's really easy when you're talking to a teenager, right? Talking to a single man, right? Talking to a married couple that want to have a baby and they're not able to have to say, be patient, be patient, be patient, be patient. It's real easy to say that, right? And it looks to them sometimes like, well, that's easy for you to say. Like one of my kids said to me a couple of years ago, you've already lived your life. Because from her perspective at that time, Well, I'm married, I have kids, I have a house. And when you're a young girl, you know, you want to get married, you want to grow up, you want to be alone, on your own, independent. So it's like, well, it's easy for you to say be patient. Let me tell you something. I still have to work on being patient. If you don't learn it now, you're not going to learn it later. You're going to set habits in your life of being impatient, and you're going to be like a typical American. You're going to go ahead and get yourself overextended financially, overextended in debt, messed up all the time, go ahead and get divorced, go ahead and mess everything up everywhere you go because you're just dying to get to the next step. Learn to be patient. Learn to be happy where you're at. Learn to suffer when you're suffering, and suffer in such a way that you say, you know what, I don't know how long I'm going to be in this horrible pit in verse number 2. I don't know how long I'm going to be stuck in the miry clay. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know when my problems are going to go away. But in the meanwhile, I really want to walk with God. I really want to have joy. Notice in verse number 1, it is assumed that he's been seeking God in his patient waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Nowhere does he say, I waited patiently for the Lord and prayed. So instinctively, in patient waiting, he just naturally assumes you realize in that patient waiting period, his action, his waiting on that table, his being a good waiter or waitress to Jesus Christ, was being on his knees in prayer, was talking to his heavenly Father, was in the middle of that, nurturing that prayer life, and he's saying, I waited patiently, and he heard me. I wonder how often God doesn't hear our prayers because our waiting is not patient. Because we're waiting, but we're telling God, hurry up! I'm waiting! How long do I have to keep asking you? Well, till you learn the lesson. I forget the guy's name right now. It'll come to me in a minute, but he used to sing a song when I was a kid. He was a crippled guy. He played the piano, and he'd reach down and grab his a brace on his leg, and he'd move his leg to work the pedals. I'll never forget, he's a great piano player. And he said, he sung a song, go on and take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson, till you quit your whining and stop your rebelling, till you learn to stand in your day of testing by trusting and obeying the Lord. That's patient waiting. Because he becomes blessed because he reaches out to God in his needs. When you're in that spot, when you're in a horrible pit and you're waiting on God to deliver you and you cry out to God and God answers that prayer, you know what happens in your soul? Folks, there ain't nothing like seeing God answer prayers. I mean, it's amazing. This week, Miss Grace texted me about something and I said praying, and literally by the end of the day, that prayer was answered. I was like, wow. Like, that was awesome. You know what happens when God does that for you? It brings a thrill into your soul. It's exciting to see a God who sits in heaven, who is almighty and holy and just, and you're in a place of need, but you're trying to handle it the right way for once. And you're reaching out to him and being patient in that trouble, and he hears that prayer. Boy, that brings blessedness. No wonder you're thrilled. Because it helps us to realize our own inability. Look at verse number 2. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Man, that's a blessing. You know, you're in that bad spot. You need patience and you're trying to wait patiently and you're in a bad spot. Well, how does that bring blessedness? This is a bad thing. Well, because you realize your own inability to handle the situation. You know why it's good for you to sit and wait patiently? Because you're like, well, you know what? I can't do anything about this. I'm in a bad spot, and you know, I might be able to grab it and manipulate it and try to make it happen, but I think it'd be smarter for me to sit back right now and wait on God and do it with the right spirit, patiently, and see what God will do. Look at verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. You know what his problem was? He was weak. You know that's a good thing? Waiting patiently is good for you. Being in that position, don't forget, with patience comes naturally you're not having patience if you don't have a trial. There's no patience involved with everything going perfect. What are you doing? Well, I'm just trying to wait this out. It's like, no, this is awesome, right? Everything's great. How you doing? Wonderful. Patience isn't something that's being worked on then. But every child of God eventually gets put in a position where it's not going the way they want it to go. And the blessedness of that is in that moment you reach out to God in your need and you get to see prayers answered. In that moment you realize that you have a need. You realize that, listen, God, I'm waiting patiently on you and I'm talking to you and I need your deliverance. I can't get my feet under me. Let alone, God, pick up my head. I am buried under this thing. And you're God and you know where I'm at. So in the meanwhile, man, Lord, already since I started talking to you, I'm already experiencing your peace. Thank you. I already know you're here. Thank you. See that thing? That's a blessing to us. That's a help to us. It brings blessedness. Because we rely solely on the hand of God when we see how bad we are. Verse number 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know why your trials are good? Having to be in a position where you're having to wait and wait patiently is good. Because your sole reliance is God's hand to get you. You aren't strong enough to get yourself out. You're in the pit. The weight of your own issues is weighing your head down. That's what he's saying. There's an exposing of yourself in your problems. Does that make sense? It's like the worst of me comes out in me when I'm in a position where I'm boxed in by the old man in front of me, which is such a goofy illustration compared to what some of the things that some of you are dealing with right now. But there's the old man in front of me, and I've been through worse in my life. This is just the illustration for tonight, okay? This isn't as bad as it's ever been. But the old man in front of me has me boxed in, and he's slowing down where I want to get. And I don't like the way I'm feeling right now because my belly is hungry. And the stinking kid just to my left won't quit screaming. And the parents don't seem to mind. Oh, you know, speaking in tongues to the kid's going to do anything about it, right? I don't like that position. Now I have to be patient. I have to wait. It'd be better to wait patiently. Why? Because in that moment you can see the hand of God move in ways that you can't see it without him. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. I want you to keep your finger here in Psalm chapter 40 and go over with me 6 books to your right. If you can find it quickly, great. If not, I'll read it to you. I want you to go to the book of Lamentations, not a commonly read from book. It's right after Jeremiah and right before Ezekiel. I want you to get Lamentations chapter 3. God used this passage of scripture in my life when I was in my mid-20s, I'd say. Maybe even my early 20s, but for sure in my mid-20s. And I've never forgotten this passage of scripture. And I've relied on it more than once since then, trust me. Lamentations chapter 3, and look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Well, you're in a bad spot, right? And he's lamenting. That's Lamentations. His heart is troubled. You're in a bad spot. You're boxed into the situation and you don't like it and you're uncomfortable. And now you're in your trial, you're in your hard time, you're in your disappointing time. And what happens in those times is all the worst of you begins to surface. Right? Ain't that the truth? I mean, come on, some of you start cussing when you wouldn't cuss otherwise, but you get in a real bad spot and it gets hit in the wall and you start seeing all that's in your heart and you're like, where is all that coming from? Right? See, this is what's good about this. Then in Psalm 40, we're not going back there. I stay in Lamentations. Then his head's hanging low and he's saying, God, I can't even pick up my head. It's a blessed thing. It's a good thing. Because you're going to start learning something about God you wouldn't know without it. You got to see some things about yourself first. He's saying it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You ever wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you. Wow. For what? I'm awake. Listen, this isn't an old person joke like it's a good day, I got out of bed and all my parts came with me. All right, it's not like that. It's like, God, when I laid down last night and went to sleep, you gave me a good night's sleep and you didn't give me a heart attack and you didn't give me a stroke because I probably wasn't everything I should have been yesterday. And you still gave me another day. You're a really good God. The Lord is my portion, verse 24, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. See that? To the soul that seeketh him. This is what's so good, the benefits of patience. Because that bad situation that's got you in, I've already showed you, it brings a blessedness because you're reaching out to God in your need. And God's good to people that seek God. When you don't have any need, have you ever noticed what your flesh tends to do? It takes a tremendous level of spirituality and spiritual maturity to passionately seek God, even when everything's going wonderful. You ever really need the next job, the promotion? Get the promotion. Get a month into the promotion, get kind of settled into your spot and get that flow going and everything's better now. And notice how much less you start praying. You should pay attention. You should notice that stuff. You should graph your spiritual behavior. It'll shock you how tricky your flesh is. Verse 26 in Psalm and Lamentations 3, it is good, watch it, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. David said, I can't even pick up my head. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, and he is filled with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. You know what he said back in Psalm 40? He said, it is good for you to sit there with that persecution complex all alone. I just don't have anybody to talk to. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I can't believe I'm going through this. This is so hard. This is so difficult. Well, if you learn a little bit of patience in the middle of all that, you'd start getting some blessing. See, the blessing isn't keeping me from ever having problems. The blessing is strengthening me to where in my problems, I can draw closer to Jesus Christ and have the strength to bear those problems with grace and with joy and with the blessing of God. You aren't going to escape problems. Did you hear what I said? You are not going to escape problems. It's funny the way the world messes with young people. The devil messes with them too. If I could just get out from under my parents. If my parents were just like their parents, then I'd have a happy life. No, you wouldn't. You'd be worse off, not better. You're going to be more miserable, not less. You know why? You're taking you with you. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's good for you to sit in that state and feel those feelings, but it's not good for you to take that thing and wait with a bitter spirit. It's good to have patience and ask Almighty God to help you have some patience in your trial. You know why? You'll start getting a blessing out of it. You're back in Psalm 40. Look at verse number 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know what comes out of that patience that you're trying to have? Brings a blessing, right? Well, another one of those blessings is that you get to see other people saved. You know what I've started to realize, and it's taken me a long time to realize, I'm almost ashamed to admit I'm just now figuring some of this out. I'm starting to realize that sometimes when I have an opportunity to deal with somebody, I should not just start slamming scripture in their face. Even when they're lost. I shouldn't just start, do you know where you're going when you die? You don't? You want to go to hell? You don't want to go to hell? Well, you know what the Bible says about going to heaven, don't you? You want me to show you what the Bible says about going to heaven? Sometimes it's like, hey, you know what? I got a 13-year-old daughter, and she's lost it. She's given us gray hair already. And we got two more daughters coming. I heard you got four.
You don't need to ask me about your daughters. Your soul's going to hell. Let's talk about that.
No, it's like, yeah, what can I do for you? I don't know if I can help you much because they're all different. One guy said, I said, they go a little nuts. And I was like, oops, because his wife had just walked away. And he's like, no, that's okay. She says the same thing. I said, okay, good. Yeah, they go a little crazy, man. It's just, we're joking. But sometimes it's not because what do I, we were really joking. You guys are looking like, Dad. They melt my heart. I can't even look at them. I really was kidding. Somebody said one time when they left church, they said, man, we feel sorry for pastor's daughters. Then I realized, like, man, I got to quit using my daughters as an illustration. That's super bad. Like, it's really not as bad as I make it sound, I promise. Don't you dare tell them. $20 each if you don't. Listen, what I want to do is I want to say, hey, do you know where you're going when you die? Because really, if you aren't saved, and you don't have the Spirit of God in you, and you don't have the Bible to guide you into what to do, then first you need to... But you know what the Holy Spirit said? Sometimes that doesn't work right now. It's not time for that. It's time to just be patient, be in here. You know, what I'm trying to say is this. A lot of times you're going to win people because they watch you. And they watch you for a long time. And they see you go through trials that they go through, but they see that you are happy. What they don't know is you have patience. But something about you is just different. Called the Holy Spirit of God. And you were there for them. And you're not pushing them. I'm trying to tell you, the day and age that we live in, folks, it's not like it was even 10 years ago in this country. It's not the same. And we Bible believers that like hard preaching and foot stomping and spitting and pulpit pounding, we better get it if we want to reach more people. They don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. There's always somebody marketing them all the time. But not very many people actually care. You know what your patience will do? Many shall see it in fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. You ever think that maybe God lets you go through bad times because there's somebody else that's watching you that will come to the Lord? Because they're going through something you went through and they saw you go through it. And now you have an opportunity 5, 10, 15, 20 years and sometimes 30 years from now to use what you went through to help somebody else out. A lot of you are divorced. Don't tell anybody because it'll tarnish the reputation of our church if the brethren find out. You know what percentage of that church is divorced? Yeah, bring us some more, will you? Because we got plenty of people here that could help them. Because they learned some patience through what they went through. Many shall see it in fear and put their trust in the Lord. Talking to somebody recently, he's talking about AA and NA, right? Well, of course you know what I said. That's godless! Higher power without Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you? He's not saved, stupid. Hey man, you should come to our church. Believe it or not, not everybody knows this, but I got some guys in the church that went to NA and AA and wound up getting saved while they were in it. They stayed in it for a little while, but you know they're not in anymore, but you know, or they still go, but they're not doing the whole higher power thing. They're bringing other people from AA and NA because they figured out who the higher power is when they had the high power of the universe move into their soul. They got it figured out now. And you should come. Many shall see it in fear. To put their trust in the Lord. That's a blessed thing, man. Something else doesn't just bring blessedness, it brings a greater knowledge of the book. Having patience. Having patience will bring you a greater knowledge of your Bible. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Prophecy, of course. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You say, what does patience have to do with that? It has everything to do with it. When you're in a bad spot, when you're dealing with stuff you don't want to deal with, when you're all kind of burdened and the temptation is to start getting frustrated and to start fretting and to start stressing about it, and you go, you know what, I'm just going to give it to God. I'm just going to keep my heart calm. I'm going to keep my mind calm. I'm going to bear up under what I'm dealing with, and I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, and I'm going to wait patiently for God to work this thing out. You know what you always do? I mean, come on, unless you are so dead spiritually, then you're not even producing the patience. You know what you always do? You always open up that Bible and sit down and say, God, show me something, please. God, speak to my heart, please. God, I want to put this together. I want to know what you're doing. I want to understand. Lord, I'm a little frustrated here. I'm stuck in a pit. I'm not doing well. I'm weighed down by my own failures, my own mess ups. Is this your hand of judgment? Is it not your hand of judgment? Have I done something wrong that has got me in this spot? Lord, I want to see some good come out of this. And I'm willing to bear this as long as you want me to bear it, Lord, until I learn whatever you're trying to teach me. You open up that Bible and you say, okay, show me what lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written. It'll open up your eyes, because why do you get into the Bible more? Why do you seek more knowledge from the Bible? Because you're seeking God. Look at verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works that thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know what he's saying? God, when I was messed up, I was in that Bible looking for a promise. I was in that Bible digging down, trying to figure out what I could claim from my Bible. Do you claim promises from your Bible? Well, we rightly divide around here. I know. And have you ever noticed how Jesus Christ, when he felt like it, could overstep dispensational boundaries? I'm not saying let's just go charismatic and don't worry about it and mix all the Bible together. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, have you ever noticed how Jesus Christ himself could overstep dispensational boundaries? The Gentiles weren't supposed to receive that gift. It was for Israel. Yeah, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs. She said, I get the doctrine on that. I know what you said about that, but God, I have a need. And I'm waiting patiently on you. And I'm not upset. I just know how good you are. And I recognize what a dog I am. The hairs of my iniquities are more than the hair of my head. I got no right to ask it. But I'm still going to ask you, God, because I read this passage when I was troubled. And I was over there in Lamentations. I was over there in Ezekiel. I was buried in Chronicles, God. And I was in a bad spot, and I was trying to be patient. And I was reading my Bible that morning, asking you for something, looking for you in the book. And I read this one verse that jumped out at me. And I'm not sure what the devil will always tell you. Oh, you're taking that wrong. Right? Somebody came to me today like, hey, listen, does this mean, here's what I got out of it. I'm just wondering if I'm taking that wrong. No, you're not. Real good. Why? Because you're in that book for the right reason. You're wanting to know more about God. You're applying yourself. You're working at it. You're studying it. You're praying. And God gives you a verse that jumps out at you and deals with right where you are. Oh, wait a minute. That was a promise to Israel. Well, no, we're not hyper-dispensationalists. We don't open up the Bible and cut everything that's not Paul out and throw it in the trash can. I read my Bible cover to cover more than once a year. Cover to cover. I'm not telling you how many times, but I read it regularly, cover to cover. God speaks to me. You're not going to believe this from Chronicles. He had 666 kids. That's a weird number, man. And there's something in there. Every promise in the book is mine. I like that song. That's a nice little song we sang when we were kids. It's not entirely doctrinal. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the bunches of his love is divine. Every promise in the book is mine. That's cool. It's great. Teach your kids a song. It's fine. It's not necessarily true. But when I'm in a mess and I'm really trying to wait patiently on God, I crack open that Bible and I'm reading through the Old Testament and there's a promise in there. You know, God can and has, he has given me promises in the Old Testament that were between me and him that were applying to Israel, but he answered my prayer and spoke to my heart, and they have come true. Why don't you tell us about it and preach it? Because then everybody runs out thinking that that's the way it works all the time. Those are the rare moments in the Christian life. Those aren't the regular Christian life. And if I just feed you and give you Bible and keep preaching sound doctrine to you, you're going to run into those experiences. And it's going to deepen you between you and God. But if you're not waiting patiently, then you're not in that Bible the right way and you're not going to get it. Patience is a good thing. There's benefits to it. The benefits of it are it brings blessedness upon the Christian. It brings greater knowledge of the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119. Keep your finger here in Psalm 40. Go to Psalms 119. I want you to see a particular verse here. Two verses. Psalm 119, look at verse 71. This entire psalm, the longest chapter in all the Bible, is all about the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Did you notice the past tense? Folks, that's a blessing, man. You know, all the Christian life isn't waiting patiently. A lot of my Christian life has been trying to run and keep up. There's no waiting patiently. It's like, okay, Lord, I am trying to get it done, right? That's a blessing when it gets like that. It's a drag when it's waiting patiently. Unless you're waiting patiently. It is good that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. When you're waiting, you're frustrated, you're dealing with all that fret and struggle, and you say, God, my waiting has not been patient. I need to be patient. When that patience sets in and the fretting is gone, you will open up that book. And when you open up the book that way, in that moment, looking for help, you will get more knowledge of your Bible than you've ever gotten before. The Bible is more than just a doctrine book. What will addict you to your Bible is when that book feeds your soul and ministers to your heart and deals with you and gives you an answer in the middle of your patient waiting. Back in Psalm 40, and let's get out of here. Let's finish it up. My last point for you. Benefits of patience. It brings a bond between you and God that nothing else will bring. He shows you in verse number 12 how he feels about himself. Innumerable evils compassed him about. That's a bunch of stuff. That's not just his own problems, his own faults. That's the problems all around him. Whatever it is that's troubling him. Then he says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth. The pressure of the troubled moments where patience is necessary and waiting is necessary, the pressure reveals the cracks. The pressure shows you where you're leaking. I'll never forget, a charismatic lady asked my preacher, she said, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? And he said, yep, but I got a leak. That's the truth. It's those times, it's those struggles where you go, man, I got a leak. The pressure's on me right now and I'm waiting, but I'm not waiting patiently. The Spirit of God's not filling me. My spirit is fretting and frustrated and angry and bitter and rebellious and stressed and every other thing, but I'm not waiting patiently. It begins to reveal, this is a blessing. The reason it's a blessing is because, verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Because when you realize you're leaking, when you realize you're cracked, when you realize you're not waiting patiently, you start to see all your own faults, right? I said that earlier. The problems reveal the faults that we have and the cracks we have and the chinks in our armor. And then we realize that God still loves us. God still loves you. God knows what a brat you're being. Like a parent knows what a brat their kid is. I don't care too much for parents that aren't honest. They aggravate me. It's like, listen, we just help. Well, you came for counseling. I don't do this in counseling because I shouldn't say things like this because it's like, I don't have to do much counseling. I wonder why. You came for counseling. Well, let's just talk. Your kid's a brat. Well, I think that there's, you know, problems. I think that she struggles. It's personality disorder. Spanking disorder. But we're past those years, so now you just got to figure out another way to discipline them, right? You know, you can run over the cell phone with the car. You can drive the car into a tree if it's their car. There's lots of stuff you can do, right? Nobody wants to admit the chinks in their armor. The reality of the real issue. You know, God knows you're a brat. And you know what he does anyways? When you start realizing, Lord, I realize in these troubles that you gave me that I am a mess. I was just stinking cussing. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've been frustrated. I've been losing my temper. I've been treating everybody else bad. I've been mad at you. I've quit praying. I'm not looking into my Bible like I should. I don't listen to the preaching like I should anymore. I feel like it's always supposed to be all about me. God, I got a rotten spirit. And then God says, I know. Glad you're figuring it out, buddy. I love that about God. Look at the next verse. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say to me, aha, aha. So although God will draw you closer, men will love to find and see the chinks in your armor. I have learned this by experience. Men will walk along, and if they see God blessing you more than God's blessing them, they'll say, did you see? Why is he, did you see the way, did you, wow, did you see him? Why is he talking? I don't know why he does things that way. Did you notice? They always see the chinks in your armor. You're pouring your soul out to God, and you're telling him everything about yourself that only you and him know. And he's saying, I know and I love you. And you're saying, God, oh, look at the chinks in my armor. I can't serve you. And God's like, that little dent? Psh, that's nothing, man. I've used much worse tools than that. That's still usable. You're fine. I've known that was there all the time. You're just now realizing it. And men are sitting back going, oh, look at that. There's a dent in his. That can't use that anymore. God can't use that. Must not be the Lord. Must be the devil blessing him. And he's saying, rob them of the reward. What's the award they're looking for? The reward they're looking for? Well, in context, the reward, at verse 17, they're sitting there looking and waiting to see him fall and mess up and not be any good for God anymore. They're looking to see him wait and wait and wait. And whoa, he's not waiting patiently. He's a mess. Aha, I knew it. Aha, aha, I knew it. I knew he'd step out on his wife. Now I knew he'd go back to the booze. Now I knew he'd get back on the drugs. I knew he'd drop out of church. Now I knew he'd start smoking again. Once a cusser, always a cusser. Uh-huh. And he's saying, God, rob them of the reward of seeing me fall. Make sure that they don't, God, they want that. You know, some of you got family members that would love nothing more than to see you out of church. Nothing more. Particularly this church. God, rob them of that reward, would you? And when God does, he preserves his children. That's verses 16 and 17. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You know what he said? Hurry up, Lord. He's waiting patiently, and he said, God, I'm waiting patiently, but don't wait any longer. It's like waiting for a rapture. I'm waiting patiently, but hurry up, you know. God's his deliverer. Folks, it's the patience. It's the benefit of patience. It's the patience that brings the bond. Do you realize you don't appreciate anything you don't earn? I just don't want my kids to suffer like I did, so I'm going to give them everything. Okay, what you're not giving them is character. Pile it up and wait till you die. If you want to help them out here or there because they earn it and they got the right, it's between you and God. Well, it's your business. I'm just saying, you can help them out along the way if they're earning it and they got the right stuff. But once you die, then leave it for them to fight over. Right. But why not let them earn it? Amen. You know, that's what God does with you. That's why he puts every one of you in a position to wait patiently, but it doesn't last forever. He just feels like it is in the moment, you know, when you're a kid. I'm never going to grow up. I'm never going to get married. Then you blink twice and you've been married 20 years. James chapter 1, and we're done. I want to read you these verses. I'm going to read them and pretty much let them speak for themselves. James chapter 1, we're not even going back to Psalm 40. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying, 40 years, probation, of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Benefits of patience. Matures you and equips you and surrounds you completely with everything you need to be the perfect Christian, not sinless, the adequate tool in the hand of God for whatever he plans on using you for. Let's go ahead and stand. Anna, would you get the piano, please? I think I need to give an invitation tonight. Go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to give you an opportunity.